look at this real quick before we get into Revelation chapter 22. Grab 603, I guess it is, in your hymn book here. I've always told you the hymn book's not inspired, haven't I? And, yeah. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for how good you've been to us. We thank you for the service we had this morning, for the attendance, for all that you're doing in our church, souls being saved and people coming and people getting more and more faithful. And just, Lord, looking through those pictures this week on my computer of all the way back in the storefront and seeing some faces that were there, Lord, helping us with the setup and the breakdown and helping us with packing the John and Romans and the CDs of the gospel message and hanging them all over the South Lyon area. Lord, thousands of them we hung all over doors, every door in South Lyon, trying to get through all Lyon Township. I think we did. And just to see those same folks still here today, this many years later, what a blessing that is to my heart. And Lord, more than pleasing me, I'm sure it pleases you. God, we want to continue to be faithful. And we need your help with that. It's not in our nature, and we need you. Tonight, we ask you to help us to get our eyes on things that really matter, on eternity, on what's on the other side. Give your church family here something that'll help them and be a blessing to them, and help me, God, to come across right in everything that I'm about to say. Please fill me with your Spirit and use me and help me not to be misunderstood. Help me to be faithful to the Bible, faithful to sound doctrine. Help me not to teach things I'm not sure of, and help me to make sure that I stay in line with you and with your Spirit. And bless your people tonight, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at this song, 603 in your hymn book. You know, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. from riot to riot. From political upheaval to political upheaval. It's a beautiful country. We're heading out to the desert, and the desert's deadly and dangerous, but it's pretty beautiful in a weird way. It's pretty awesome when you see those wild horses walking up there, and, you know, kind of whatever. Well, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern and passion stress, thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control. Thy liberty and law, right? What? Abortion. You know, we're not teaching self-control. What you got here is a mess, is what you got. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. Now, let me stop for a second. I greatly appreciate and have tremendous respect for guys that sign up for the military, serve in the military, give their life for the military, get their legs blown off and everything else for the military. The guys that don't get their legs blown off sometimes come back with damage in their soul. And it's a very real thing. And God can heal it and God can fix it, but if they don't reach out to God, they wind up reaching out to Jack Daniels and Southern Comfort that is no comfort at all. And Coors Light that's very, very heavy, and Bud Light that's really, really heavy. It's a heavy burden so much it crushes them. And I've sat in the woods with them, went to high school with them, sat out in the woods in his camper, big old beard on him, for hours while he chain smoked and empty bottles were everywhere, and family asked me to go talk to him, and I'm the only one he'd talk to. Like, I'll talk to you. And I'd sit there and pray because I wanted to help him. Ex-Marine, I don't know whether I'm a devil or an angel. Sitting there like, God, help him not to hurt me because we're out here in the woods in his camper with no running water, 5-gallon empty buckets and more other 5-gallon jugs of water over there, chain smoking and whiskey everywhere, buried back in the woods. Gotta help me, man. You gotta help me, Mike. Because the Lord can help you, brother. I can't. Did everything that I could. Showed up at church a few times, looked like a homeless guy. And then hung himself. They found him out in the woods. You know what bothers me? That was a wasted life. That was a man who could have gone on for God, could have gone on for his family, which was all broke up because of what he went through for you and me. I don't take it lightly at all what those guys go through. I highly respect the fact that they give their life for that and come home like that. And I'm telling you right now, God can help them. But when they get all wrapped up in the drugs and alcohol trying to drown it, it's a bad thing. That's a terrible thing. You know what bothers me the most about it? Bothers me the most about it is if we're really such a great nation, why is it we pick and choose where we send our boys to ruin their lives? Yeah. Don't you know what's going on in Africa? See, we got no motive to be there. We're over there where the oil's at, where the money's at. I'm not finding fault, picking fault or trying to speak above my head. I know there's a supernatural element to it, that God moves in governments and so does the devil, and there's something going on that's way above my pay grade. Do you all understand that? But I see enough to know that we send our boys over there to do something and sacrifice for something while we put it under humanitarian this and humanitarian that. But in all reality, it's not even about any of that. It's about politicians and money and economies and all the rest of that stuff, because the love of money is the root of all evil. So I'm against Christians that worship this nation and act as though our country is this thing we can ask God to bless the way it is. I pray for kings and all their authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I pray for my country. I do that. I mean that. You should be praying for your country. You should pray for President Biden. And I don't care who gets in the White House next. You should pray for him every day. And don't be praying God kills him and all that stuff and precatory Old Testament prayers. You should pray for him. A preacher told me, very discouraged recently, that he heard somebody had said that they led, AOC? That they led her to Christ in the airport, that they talked to her and that somebody said that. I don't know if that's even true or not. Don't spread that as a fact. But he said that he had heard that and he posted it like, praise the Lord. And the response of all the Bible-believing brethren was so discouraging. It's like, man, I don't even know why I even said anything. You know, shame on us Bible believers. I mean, shame on you if that's your attitude. I hope she got saved. Wouldn't that be great if she doesn't spend eternity in the lake of fire? Amen. Now, just because she got saved doesn't necessarily mean she's going to wind up following God like she should. But wouldn't it be great if she got saved? Has anybody prayed for her? Because we see her all over the news and we all can't stand her. Because we're independent Americans with a love our liberty and hate the direction she's taking. We believe the Bible, blah, 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 blah. You know, crown my good with brotherhood. You ain't living in that now. And if President Trump gets in office, you ain't going to be living in it then. You watch how much worse it's going to get. We're not done. I'm not preaching the hymn book today, but you know. America, America, may God thy gold refine. Gold's in there. God thy gold refine. This is a song in your hymn book. I always told you the hymn book isn't inspired, didn't I? Till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Well, I guarantee you the Apostle Paul did not write that song. Every gain divine, beat me again. Jesus Christ had nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not wherewith to lay his head. Take up thy cross and follow me till every gain divine. I don't know what's going on sometimes with Bible believers that see this stuff and don't think through it. Are you getting the idea I'm anti-American? That's not the idea I'm trying to send you. I'm not anti-American. I'm pro-Bible. I'm pro-Jesus Christ. I'm pro that kingdom. And when your country is gone from God, it's time for preachers to preach against the country and say, turn it around, get right with God. But I'll tell you this much, I don't believe the nation's going to turn around. I think we've sowed so many evil seeds, we're going to have to reap what we sowed, and it's going to rain on the just and on the unjust. And that doesn't mean I don't love my country. If our country got attacked, I'm probably too old now, but if our country got attacked, I've always had the intention of just volunteering if they don't draft me. Did you hear me? Not anti-American. I'm not anti-military. I appreciate them with all my heart. So if you think I'm anti-military, you just don't know me. My high school friend that was in the military heard me preach and knows where I stand and said, Reagan's the only one I'll talk to. And his family said, go try to help him. Verse 4, O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years thine alabaster cities gleam. undimmed by human tears. Undimmed by what? Alabaster cities, you weren't with us Friday night. There's nothing alabaster about bandos. There's nothing alabaster about taking young guys with me and feeling an intense responsibility to say, hey, watch where you're walking, because there's hypodermic used needles everywhere on the ground, and you don't want, if you got soft shoes or sandals on, I don't want you getting poked. Nine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. There's a woman out there, looked like she was in her 50s, easily, mid to late. She might have been as young as late 30s or early 40s. And she came over to me, a short, skinny white girl with a young, big-built-looking black guy. And she come over to me and she's like, can I get a couple waters? And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. She bends over, she picks up the water. She said, can I take some ice? And there's everybody's hands had been in that big old huge cooler. Everybody. Like, not no hygiene, homeless. You guys know what I'm talking about. Floaties in it. She takes her cup and she scoops it through the ice. And she looks up at me and she can't hardly look at me like that. And I realize she's crying. I said, you all right? She said, I can't wait to get out of here. I got to just get out of here. And he come over, hey, baby, and puts his arm around. She says, hey, baby. And she all acts like she's cool with him. And she's looking, I can't wait to get out of here. She's trapped. But she needs him for her protection. And so she's doing whatever she's got to do to survive, and she's trapped. Thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. I don't know what kind of crack you're on. I don't know where you live, but you ain't seen much, and you don't have much of a burden for souls, and you don't recognize much about the world you're living in. It bothers me. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Well, we sure need that. Because what's supplying those folks down there would blow your mind if you knew the background to it. If you knew how much the government's involved. A pretty clean-cut-looking guy come over to me and he says, hey, what you guys are doing is really good. He was articulate. And I said, well, thank you. I'm kind of looking at him. He's like, hey, I work at the shelter, you know, over, I forget the names of the roads. I got it written down. He said, I work there and I live there. I'm employed there. And he said, they give them food, but they don't give them any toiletries and they don't give them any clothes. And what they really need is toiletries and clothes. He says, any chance you can come over there? I said, yeah, we'll do our best to get over there. He said, when are you going to be there? Because I'll be there. I'll make sure that they all come out and we get them taken care of. He said, it's bad here. We were over on the east side. We were in what Brother Joe calls Transylvania. And he said, it's worse over there than it is here now. What's happening is the money moved into southwest Detroit for a motor company, and they want them gone. So they're doing everything they can to drive the homeless out, and Joe's going to places he's been going for 40 years and can't find all his people because they're getting driven out. They're putting them on trains and shipping them out, and they're saying, where did they go? I don't know. Putting them on buses and shipping them out of town. Where did they go? I don't know, but they're still out there somewhere. And Joe's like, he's like, I'm broke up, man. I don't know where my people are. So, well, maybe they're over there, but it's further into the east side. It's a longer drive, but they're out there. They're still out there. No matter what they do to drive them out, no matter what they do to clean it up, no matter what they do to pretty it up, so you'll go down there, not you, God help us, but the suburbanites will go down there and get drunk. You understand what they're doing? Oh, downtown's clean, downtown's nice, downtown's safe. They're fixing up downtown, renovating downtown, downtown, downtown. They don't actually care about who lives down there. They don't care about the people that actually need help down there. They're trying to get all you people from the burbs with some money to go down there and get drunk and party and dance so you can keep you more addicted and make more money and get people coming to get the money flowing. America, America. You know what America needs? America needs some people that love Jesus Christ and love lost souls and preachers that love the Bible and love lost souls to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and to care about them a little bit. That's what America needs. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Well, we need the grace of God, but I'll tell you this much, folks, until you get here in Revelation 22:1, that was my little introduction for you. Not so little of an introduction, but that was my introduction. Until you get here, you don't see alabaster cities that gleam. And you never will. Not in this world. Not in this life. They deck them out. They pretty them up. They dump millions and billions of dollars into them. And they make them look, oh, so clean, so rich, so fancy. And so full of debauchery and wickedness and godlessness and depravity. So full of broken hearts and broken homes and everything else. What you need is you need God. That's what you need. What you need is you need to go somewhere where a curse is gone and sin is gone. And the pure beauty and power of God can just have its way, man. Won't that be a day? Won't that be a day? Now, verse number 1 in chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So what you got here is you got a full circle back to Eden. See the water coming? A pure river of the water of life. And that water is clear as crystal. And it's proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know what he is? He's the living water. You know it's flowing out from the throne of God? Pure, clean, clear, crystal-colored water, just as clear as it can be, coming right out of that throne. So I already described to you the best I could in my human mind and from the last chapter, the shape of that city and the beauty of that city and the way it's decked out beyond imagination. And running right up the center of that city is a street of gold, right? I talked about that. Now, here's the thing. Some folks are asking me. It's a great discussion. It doesn't say that's the only street in the city. The main avenue might be the only street, but it doesn't say it's the only street. What it's saying is the main avenue is a street of gold that looks like it runs right up to the throne of God sitting at the top of that city, and that's the main avenue of the city, which is a street of gold, and it's the only one you're told is a street of gold. Now, with that many mansions in it and the size of that city, there's got to be more streets, right, to get to your mansion. But those are insignificant streets as compared to the throne of God. The emphasis of that city from the time you step into it is going to be that main avenue that you're going to want to get to that throne and to see the Lord. I mean, there's 12 different gates. They're coming in from 12 different directions. And the nations are coming into those gates throughout eternity future, coming from different directions. So all those roads got to lead straight to that main street, which is the street that's the main subject of the New Jerusalem. And it runs right up to that throne. And what you see pouring out of that throne is I'm the fountain. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You come to me and drink, you'll never thirst again. That's Jesus Christ. He satisfies, and he's going to satisfy for eternity. What a great thing that's going to be, and what a wild thought. Keep your finger here in Genesis 22, Revelation 22. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. What the Lord has done when you get to Revelation chapter 22 is he's preached a phenomenal sermon. I mean, he's run on and on and on. If you spend every time every day in your Bible, just 10 or 15 minutes every day, take you a year to read that sermon. I'm in my Bible right here. It's a 1,670-page message he's preached. And he gave you the introduction in Genesis chapter 1, prep and delivery, guys. And Genesis chapter 2. That's you're over there in the beginning, right? When you get to Genesis chapter 2, you look at verse number 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first, Pison, and that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, there where there was gold. Do you see the gold? And the gold of that land was good. It's good gold. It ain't perfect gold. It ain't gold that's clear, but it's good gold. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river, Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river, Euphrates. The Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You know what the Lord did at the beginning? He gave him river flowing out there. Gave him water. You know what he did all the way down at the end? Revelation chapter 22, you've come full circle. You're back into a perfect place, but right now, when you come to the conclusion where he's reiterating the introduction and showing you how he worked it all out, you know what he's done full circle? He's put you in a perfect place again. The thing was perfect when he set it up. See, the last time, though, there was a little bit of a problem. in the last one, back in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, there was a tree in there that was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was a presence there, which was the presence of Lucifer. But when we get all the way over to Revelation chapter 22 and God's done his work, you know what you got? You got no Lucifer and no tree of the knowledge of good and evil, nothing but perfection and beauty and power and no temptation at all. Could you imagine? Could you imagine one day of your life? Literally, if God gave you one day where he said, all day today, you're going to walk perfectly with me and you're not even going to be tempted one time to sin. If that could happen, that would be the best day of your life. You might not even be able to put into words why it was such a great day, and nothing around you that was happening would make any sense if it was negative or whatever else. If you were not tempted to sin or have a sinful thought at all, what a day that would be. And he's going to put you there for eternity. Can you fathom that? I can't fathom it. All right, so God puts them all the way back there. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. God brings the thing full circle and there's water coming out. Genesis 3, 22, and the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree alive. So what happened to the tree alive? Well, he just goes on into chapter 4 and doesn't talk about it again. And the tree of life doesn't show up again. Until you come all the way to Revelation chapter 22 and you get into the next verse and you find out that the tree of life is back. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the tree leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So when God drove them out of the garden, he said, no access to the tree of life because I don't want you to live forever in a sinful state. So he snatched that tree up, and I don't know what happened to it. Every preacher has nothing but conjecture about it, because it don't say. But pretty sure he snatched it up to heaven. Because when he brings out that new Jerusalem and takes you off into eternity future, he shows you the tree of life out there in the new Jerusalem, eternity future. So he's got it up there somewhere, and he brings it back. Ain't that a trip? You know, the Bible's a super cool book. You say, explain all that to me, preacher. I can't. I'm just giving you what I get. You okay with that? I'm going to find another church if he doesn't know it all. I never said I'm God. And if you like and you believe in and you follow a preacher who acts like or thinks or talks like he is and always has all the answers, you got a con man's what you got. You got a super sharp guy who knows how to get into every single situation and weasel his way out of it to where he can set it up because he's a really good debater and he's a nasty individual. The truth of the matter is the greatest teachers and preachers on the planet today, and you're not looking at one, the greatest ones on the planet today tell you, don't know. Can't explain this verse. That's a weird one. Don't know what to tell you. Believe it. Believe every word of it. Can't explain it all. And nobody can. Because God told you, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. So how could some guy say, well, I got caught up to heaven and I saw it all. And let me tell you about my death experience where I saw God and I saw heaven and I saw hell and I went to hell. And then when they start saying stuff to you about levels of hell and all the rest of that stuff, that's a con man right there. You know why? Because they got just enough Bible in them to know what to say. They didn't see nothing. If God isn't going to tell all these people, he ain't telling you. He ain't telling some guy that don't even know his Bible. That's a con man's what that is. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there's the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits. Notice that. So it's a singular street, right? And in that street, there's the tree showing up again, and it's the tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is gone. So it looks like God snatched it up. Now, what I want you to understand about this tree is, from the best we can tell, and I'm just about 100% convinced myself, the tree of life is an olive tree. It's not an apple tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not an apple tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a vine. I'll show you. It's a grape. It's connected to alcohol. It's demonic. There was a snake in it who blended in so perfectly when she walked up to look at it, he started speaking to her out of that tree. He was woven through that thing and he was watching her. And she walks up not seeing him and she starts having a conversation with him because he was probably beautiful, absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And when he started speaking to her and talking to her, something soothing came over her soul. And I mean, Satan has a silver tongue, ladies. So do wicked men that know exactly how to manipulate a woman to get her emotions and to attract her to themselves. You know, you'll have a great big old knockdown, drag-out fight with your husband the night before. You'll go to bed mad at each other, even though the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And you'll wake up that morning, and his breath will be so rotten, it'll be filling the whole room. And, you know, he'll be all disheveled and stinking, and you'll stomp out the door and head off to work mad as a wet hen, and some smooth, slick, devil-possessed. Why, you look awful nice today. Aren't you beautiful? That's how Lucifer got to her. You know what's funny about that thing? The funny thing about that is that the Bible says the woman was deceived. You ever notice that the fall came when Adam ate of the forbidden fruit? The fall was attributed to Adam. The fall wasn't attributed to Eve. She sinned. And she died because of her sin. She suffered grave consequences for what she did. But in God's economy, as sin is connected to human nature, God put the weight and responsibility of it on the man. That's why he put the responsibility on you men to lead your homes. Because the woman was deceived. So she's more emotional, and the devil knew it. And she's more inclined to being smooth-talked, and the devil knew it. And so what he did is he began making an appeal to Eve. And she believed him. She was tricked. Adam walked up and saw his wife. By the way, better Bible teachers than I believe that before the fall, the circulatory system was water. After the fall, it became blood. I would agree with that. I think when you get your glorified body, your circulatory system is going to be water. So if your circulatory system switches to something like blood, don't you think the second he looked at her and knew something had happened, he had known something happened, because when he looked at her, he could see something was different in her complexion. She died that day spiritually. She lived hundreds of more years physically, but that day she died spiritually. He looked at her and he recognized and noticed what was going on and asked her what happened. And she told him what happened. And he said, all right, if you're dead, I'm dying with you. And he knew what he was doing, and he went directly against God because he put the woman ahead of God. Yeah. What I tell you this morning, it's God first and grace second. And if I love her and love my kids, that's what I'll do for them. And if I love you, you're going to fall into fourth place in my life. That's what I'll do for you, to keep you safe, to love you, to be there for you. But Adam said, I'm putting her ahead of God, and he took that thing and bit it. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he did it, so God attributed it to attributed sin to him. He was not deceived. Now, gentlemen, that's why you're supposed to lead your home. That's why you need to pay attention and keep your finger on the pulse of your home. That's why you need to make sure you don't get caught up in the gossip and you don't get caught up in all the frustration. And when you see it happening, you guide them in how to think about things. You guide them in how to behave about things. You guide them in how to handle things. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of 46 years of hearing preachers beat up on women. I'm sick of it. I think the responsibility falls on the men. I think if your wife, you know, the preachers, the woman's tongue is so long, she had to put a wheelbarrow in front of her to drag her tongue around. You know what I mean? Like, if you unrolled her tongue, it would go from the pulpit all the way out the front door of the church, you know? I've heard all that preaching, haven't you? How many of you heard that stuff? Yeah, well, if that's actually true, then where was her husband? You coward. Lead your home. You just don't want her to get mad because you're putting her ahead of God. I think if you got men leading the home and men leading the church, that the women get help. and they get to serve and they get to be a part of the thing. And if you just wait, the Lord will give us more opportunities to serve. Trust me, okay? Got a million things I'm just not going to say right now. I'm not sure how everything's going to play out, but I'm praying. And if we're there and you want to do more, why don't you just wait on God? In the meanwhile, enjoy it. Enjoy sitting here and listening to the preaching. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy having to clean the church once every so many months because there's so many people on board right now that if we started teaming up for some more that God could give to us someday, possibly, we could still be doing it once a quarter. Just saying, there'll be plenty to do. But in the meanwhile, walk with God. Gentlemen, you're supposed to direct your home. That's your job. Because the woman does get deceived. Ladies, I'm not putting you down. I'm not trying to act like we're all that in a bag of chips. I'm going to get to it, maybe not tonight, but I'm going to get to it when the curse is gone. It's part of the curse. Do you understand that? You can't get around it. You can't cut it out. You can't push it away. If you try to push it away, you're resisting the will of God, because the will of God right now in a sinful world is for you to go ahead and live a sinful life, not sin in your life. I'm not saying God wants you to live a sinful life. I mean God wants you to live under the curse. He wants you to understand that this life is not what it's all about. Am I clear on what I just said?
Yeah.
Okay. He wants you to understand that this world's not what you're living for. That's why there's troubles and God allows them. That's why the issues. That's why he said, Adam, all right, now you're going to work the field by the sweat of your brow. That's your curse, fellas. And he said to the woman, well, let's go look at it. I want you to look at it. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, please. It's important to see it. And it's important to see it because I want you to bring your life, your daily life, into the proper view as it relates to eternity. Because if you can do that, God will help you with your daily life. It'll help you. And I want to help you. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy seed and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Listen, that is a drag. And I'm not female. I don't have a husband ruling over me. I know this much, her desire is toward her husband. That's why when she don't have the husband treating her right, she gets like she gets. Now, ladies, that's not your excuse. Just before the devil starts interpreting it in your head, and you get in the car and you start saying things, or back to the house, you start saying things you shouldn't say, I'm going to reiterate what I said this morning. You don't help the Holy Spirit, you don't help your pastor, you don't help your husband by taking what's being taught and preached in the pulpit and using it as your weapon. You are tearing your house down with your hands, and God warned you about that in Proverbs. So let God speak to him and pretend you don't even know what happened. Amen. All right, so now it says her desire is going to be toward him. That's tough. It's true. And it says, and he shall rule over thee. Ouch. You know what you men are responsible to do? You're responsible before God to lead your family in the Word of God by the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because she's not obligated to follow you if you're living like the devil, because the Bible says as it is fit in the Lord. So you make a real mess out of your home by not submitting to God and selling your soul out to Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ every day of your life. You're jacking up your home. And I don't apologize. It's tough for a woman to submit to a sinful man. My heart goes out to my wife. Because we all know Ephesians 5:28, especially if you grew up in an independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing Baptist church.
Submit, I shall submit, obey your husband. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
Well, you ain't Abraham, are you?
Wives, submit your own husbands as it is fit, as it is fit,
as it is fit, as it is fit in the Lord. Jerk. Sorry, I'm trying to be nice lately in there. It just kind of slips out every once in a while. If that was me, I apologize. If that was the Holy Spirit, deal with it. All right, now, you're gentlemen, you're supposed to lead that home. And ladies, you're stuck dealing with them. And that, to me, my heart breaks for my wife. Because no matter how hard I try to serve the Lord and be a good man, I'm human and I'm full of failures. It's part of the curse. And the Lord's not letting you out from under it. So you resist it all you want. You push against it all you want. You refuse to do it all you want. And all you do is compound your misery because you'll be out of the will of God. Unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. No, I'm not a broken record and I'm not stuck and I'm not tripping out or anything. You guys realize that your wives are the weaker vessel and get emotional. And you got to learn to let them vent because it's better for them to vent to you than the other girls in the church or their other friends who get in their head and think they know how to counsel them and advise them and they don't. So he said, you listen to her. And it's eaten of the tree. I'm going to show you that tree in just a minute. Of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That's why you fellas complain about work. That's why you get so miserable at work. That's why it's hot. Talking to Brother Holland today, and he's like, well, in the mornings it's supposed to be probably in the 40s and 50s, and then by noon it'll probably be 80 to 100. We're going to have fun. Why? You know why? Because of the curse. Work is not the problem. I told you, you'll be working all the way through the millennium. You'll be working on off into eternity future. And when there's no curse there, there won't be any problem. You see, being in subjection to your husband's really not the problem, because you're going to have a perfect husband throughout the millennium and a perfect husband throughout eternity future. Glory to God. And there will be zero curse in being submitted to him. It'll be heaven. It'll be paradise. It'll be perfection. It'll be what everybody wants and nobody can get in this world. I said, nobody can get it in this world. You can't get it in this world. Stop living for this world. It's what's over there that actually matters. Well, he said, I'm going to curse the ground for your sake. Thank you, Lord. Thou curses the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So guess what? Talking to the guys, right? Deal with it. Get a job. Keep the job. Say, yes, sir, and in the day and age that you live in the country that you're living in, brace yourselves. Are you ready? You're Christian, Bible-believing, God-fearing men, right? Then that may mean on your job, you don't just say, yes, sir, you say, yes, ma'am. Well, this world's just messed up, and women are ruling over them, and hey, you're manipulating the Bible. If a woman's your boss, and she tells you what to do, guess what you're supposed to do, because that's your boss.
Woman gonna tell me what to do.
By the way, all this equal stuff is the biggest bunch of baloney you ever heard in your life. You watch it when you put a woman in a position of leadership over a bunch of men and you see what happens. If she won't be filthy and flirtatious and use her feminine whatever to manipulate the situation, they'll hate her. Every time. Because there's some things put in you instinctively that God Almighty put in you that you can't escape. And it ain't fair, it ain't right. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells you, gentlemen, that it's in sorrow all the days of your life. You're going to have to deal with it. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. What a joy, man. You see, what a drag. I mean, what a drag. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Is it a sin to be cremated? All you do is speed up the process. That's Roman Catholic doctrine. And then they run the history of where cremation came from and get you all wigged out because, like, oh, do you know the roots of that? Do you know the roots of everything in this world? Hello? It's just flesh. So if you want to just fry it up, fry it up. I told my wife, you'll cook me. I'm really not going to care. I'm not going to care at that moment. I'm going to be in heaven. Oh, look, they're frying me up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. If you really want to do that, put me on the mantle and stare at the mantle. I mean, that's kind of like a little bit of weirdness. You know what I'm saying? But whatever. It's just dust. That's what you are. It's where you... Sorry, guys. That was not in my notes. That was free, okay? I won't even charge you for it. You're dust. That's where you came from and where you're going back to. You're living in a curse. But you're going to a place where the curse is gone. Forever. What a blessing, what a day that's going to be. That's what you ought to be living for. All right, let me show you these trees real quick so I can kind of nail down here something about that. Go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. It's funny to me that these big biblically ignorant people use the Bible to market and everything else. You know, you got your apple. And it's not a coincidence at all whatsoever that they take an apple with a bite out of it. Because everybody historically thinks that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. But when you know a little bit of Bible, should you have an iPhone? It's got the apple on it. You missed the mark, man. That's what sin is. You've been missing the mark. You're still missing the mark. You biblically ignorant guys rubbing the Bible in God's face like that. And God's like, wrong verse. I think it's humorous. But that's exactly what it's intended to be, in my opinion. It wasn't an apple, you guys. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the vine tree. It was a grape. Genesis 9:20, Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. You know what the vine's associated with? It's associated with drunkenness. Go to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. I'm against alcohol. Our church is against alcohol. Just so you know. I'm against it. I wouldn't even have a social drink. I'm not getting drunk. I'm not touching it. The Bible tells you in Proverbs, we're not going to have the time tonight to run all the references, but the Bible tells you in Proverbs not to even look on it when it's red, when it moveth itself aright in the cup. You ever notice the way they put the liquor aisles in the store? It's a trap. You walk into Kroger and it's right there, my Kroger. It's just right, you got to walk right into it. This is produce right here and liquor right here. You ever notice all the liquor advertisements? They're made to look like they're Alabaster City's Gleam. You know how much they lie to you kids? They lie to you 24/7. I heard one preacher say it best. He said, "Where's the guy with the beer belly on all the alcohol advertisements?" If you drink that stuff, you're not going to look the way the people on those advertisements and commercials look. You can't drink that stuff and be shredded, some kind of a supermodel. Let's show them what he really looks like. It's what you really look like on that stuff. It's a lie. Numbers chapter 6, are you there? Look at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto the children of Israel, speak unto the children of Israel, saying to them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of the Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, nor vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried, saying any grapes at all. And all the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is made of the vine. See it? What he's telling you is the vine is a tree. From the kernels even to the husk. Now, it doesn't mean it's wrong for you in the Bible to eat grapes or raisins. Just so you know. Doesn't mean it's wrong for you to eat it. He was saying when the Nazarite separates himself, I want him so far away from everything involved with the vine, I want him to go all the way over here and stay completely away from the vine altogether as part of the Nazarite vow. Does that make sense? For you, and throughout the Bible, there's two different kinds of wine. There's new wine, which is when you take the grape and you smash it and you drink the grape juice. And there's old wine. And that's wine that's been fermented. It's left to sit for a while so that the sugars in the grape will react with the yeast in the grape and create alcohol. By the way, just so you know, in Bible times, even the alcohol that had the wine that would have alcohol in it was nothing like the alcohol they're feeding this country today and all around the world. Did you know that? You know, they'd have to drink a whole lot more alcohol back in that day to get the same effect you can get from one or two or from a shot. Biblically ignorant, historically ignorant, uneducated people trying to tell you, they drank wine in the Bible, it's okay to go ahead and drink wine. All right, look at, go to Judges 9 for the sake of time. Judges chapter 9, let me show you some other trees. I'm sorry, guys. I've just seen too many people destroyed by the stuff. I stand against it. By the grace of God, I'll always stand against it. And I don't ever plan on changing my position on it. I've watched too many people's lives wrecked and ruined. I've met with too many. Listen to me. I'm going to say this. I know there's none good. I know the verses. But the Bible also says that Paul said you should be a lover of good men. So in the proper context, let me say some good men destroyed by the stuff. If he's a good man, he wouldn't have been. Well, I wouldn't be so fast to react. I wouldn't be so quick to speak. If I were you, I'd slow down a little bit. You're going to tell me a guy that's born again, that loves Jesus Christ, saved as a kid, just a great guy, always a tender-hearted, great guy, real phenomenal wrestler, cool kid, signs up for the military because he loves his country, goes over there and is willing to die as a kid, young man, willing to die for his country. You're going to tell me he's not a good man. And then come back, and instead of having somebody there to help him and say, God can help you, man, let me help you. Instead of that, all he had to turn to was that filthy, rotten, godless, depraved, septic garbage that's stinking, dropping down his throat. I know him. I know him. I know the names. I know the faces. I know a guy shut himself in his house at my age. Shut himself in his house. Because he is just, nah, I'm done. I cannot drink anymore. I'm not going to drink anymore. I've got to stop. And died because he wouldn't drink. He refused to drink anymore because that's ruining my life. I can't. And died. They found him laying in his feces. And you gotta tell me, oh, it's no big deal. Okay, well, maybe you do have control over it. Do you know your kids are gonna? Well, Dad, you always did. Can you be sure your kids will? Just too many of them. Too many of them. Have too many of them call me middle of the night. Mike. Pastor Mike, oh man. I had the privilege of sitting across the table from a guy who was a bodyguard for Kid Rock. No joke. I mean, no joke, not making it up. Man, I need help. Ex-Marine. I've just seen too many guys that are just good guys. Lives wrecked. So, you know, if you don't like me preaching against it, I'm just, you know, in a sense, I guess. Sorry for you. But I'm not going to stop. Judges chapter 9, verse 8. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God, number one, and man, number two. What's the first commandment? What's the second that's like unto it? What's the olive tree do? What are the two guys that stand next to the Lord in the book of Revelation? They're two what? Oh, yeah, you know that from the Old Testament prophecy. They're two olive trees. To go to be promoted over the trees. The olive tree said, I'm not leaving God, who's honored by me. I'm not leaving man, who's blessed by me, to go be promoted over the things of this world. Get out. That's the olive tree. I ordered some olive oil, some real stuff. I did some research on it. I wanted the stuff with the highest polyphenol count that you can get. And I wanted cold pressed, and I wanted it from the Middle East. And I ordered some of that stuff. And man, when you drink that, I try to drink a tablespoon every day, at least one every day. And when you drink that stuff, it tastes nothing like the stuff you get from the store. It actually kind of burns, and it looks real, almost does. It's not quite as cloudy. It's clearer. And tastes really, it's not even that good tasting, but it tastes very different. And it's supposed to be phenomenal for your health. Now, I'm not starting a cult thing, you know. I've tried it all, been done it all and everything else. And I like to look into all that stuff, and I enjoy it. So just leave me alone if it's stupid or whatever. And just thank you. I don't really care. Everybody's got a different scheme. Somebody recently told me the Lord sent them here randomly because I needed to tell somebody in the church this is what's wrong, and they wanted to diagnose their child. I said, thank you for the information. I appreciate it. Have a nice day. That's not why God sent you here. Here's the door. Thank you very much. We have doctors. Now, I'm not being a weirdo. Well, I'm just naturally weird. You understand what I'm saying? So, and if you're interested, you could try it. It's probably good for you. Might kill you. I don't know, but I like it. Verse 10. And the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. The fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go be promoted over the trees? See, the fig tree is stuck in its self-righteousness. It's Israel. Jesus saw the fig tree afar off, and from a distance it looked good, but when he got close, there's no fruit on it, and he cursed it. Remember that?
Yep.
That's the fig tree.
Yep.
And he said unto the trees, so the fig tree rejected him. Then he said, then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble. So here's a guy who thinks he's making God happy himself, which cheereth God and man. But the trees said, come to the bramble. That's a thorn. If man had passed the test and rejected, the vine wouldn't have been bad. When Lucifer got in the vine, you follow me? And tried to tempt him. If man had passed the test in the garden, the vine wouldn't have been bad. There's good wine and bad wine. I cheer God and man. It's a tree in the context. So then they go to the bramble. That's your thorns. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me to be king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. The trees in your Bible are like men. Back to Revelation chapter 22, the tree of life that's coming out of that throne is an olive tree. More than likely, when we study the trees of the Bible, that's what it is. And the leaves of that tree can be eaten for the healing of the nations. So it's my studies of Revelation that caused me to research olive oil, and I bought olive oil, and there's a big difference between that stuff and the stuff we get in our stores. Just saying. Well, there's Bible to it. It might be all right, you know. All right, verse 3. Here it is, and we'll stop here for tonight. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Folks, I cannot imagine the day when there shall be no more curse. No thorns. Ladies, no more childbearing. No more childbearing with pain. No more sinful husband you're trying to submit to, and it's a struggle. It's a burden. It's a real burden. No more. No more desire to a husband. Kind of weird thought, ain't it? My kids have always struggled with it. You guys aren't going to be married in heaven, and we're not going to be married. Really? You're not going to be married? We're not going to be married. Now, after we pass probably the, 15-year mark or so, and every year that goes on, we're like, yeah, we're not going to be married. It's heaven, you guys, you know? But I'm just kidding. But no more. We'll both be there. I'll know her and she'll know me. And it'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
And the Lord will be in it.
Yeah.
There won't be any separation. There won't be any missing. There won't be any longing. There won't be any loneliness. It will all be there. Are you saved?
Yeah.
Your spouse saved? Are your kids saved? Then we'll all be there. And it's all going to be okay. No more curse. And we'll all have the perfect husband. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the meanwhile, we're trying to be more like him and learn about him so we can be more like him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine gentlemen going to work every day and absolutely loving it and not being willing, not being able to wait till you get there? I got to thinking about what it means to have no more curse and just the focus being on the Lord. How about this? No political rallies. No voting. Nothing to vote about. No riots. No inflation. No war. No viruses. No pandemics. No police sirens. No ambulance sirens. No first aid kits. No hospitals. No doctor's offices. No therapists. No jails. No prisons. No old folks' homes. No rehab centers, no funeral homes, no bars, no back alleys, no dumpsters, no dumpsters, no litter, no dust, no mud, no exhaust, no pollution, No hungry people. We were out there on the city, on the street this week, and Billy looks at a guy and he says, "Would you like some food?" And the guy looks at him and he says, "Look at me, man, I'm a he-she. I'm a man. Of course I want some food." And we were kind of laughing. Like, what? What did he say? He said, "Look at me, man, I'm a he-she." He said, "I'm a man." And he had on a woman's wig. He had on high heels. He had on makeup. He said, "I'm a man. Of course I want some food." Now, I know you're Bible believers. I know that's sinful and disgusting and gross. But I wonder what the story is. I wonder what happened to that man when that big old man, big old monster of a man, was a little boy. No more sin. No more heartbreak. I don't know. I think if you sat down and tried to think about it and say, what do I know now and what do I see now on a daily basis around the world and in my life that I'm not going to see ever again when I get to heaven? I think you all should go write a list. Everything I'm never going to see again when I get to heaven. What a day that'll be. There was a family that used to come and sing for us here, and what was their name, Miss Patty? You remember their names, the Lacys? Wasn't it the Lacys? Something like that. They used to sing a song that Brother Paul's at the Lacys. He used to sing a song, Brother Paul's favorite song, "I'm going to have a new body one of these days." That's what you're going to have, is a new body. No more bone on bone, no more knee replacements, no more heart trouble, no more diabetes, no more sore back. No more psychological problems, no more heart problems, no more bitterness, no more pain, no more tears, no more bad memories. You guys, you should live every day of this sinful, cursed little life you got with that day in mind. It'll be worth it. All right, we'll pick it up in verse number 5 next time, or verse number 4 next time. Father, we love you tonight.